Penguin Random House Audio presents The Lost Ticket by Freya Sampson. Read for you by Catherine Lee McEwen with Helen Lloyd. For my parents, Allison and Roy. Prologue. April 1962. Frank spotted her out of the front window as the bus pulled up at Clapham Common Station. She was standing at the bus stop, wearing a pair of wide-leg trousers, what looked like a man's tweed jacket, and a black beret, set on a sideways angle to reveal a shock of red hair underneath. The whole ensemble was unlike anything he'd ever seen a girl wear before, both boyish and feminine at the same time. From his seat at the front of the top deck, Frank saw a flash of green eyes under the beret and felt his heart quicken. The 88 stopped and the girl boarded, disappearing from view. Frank could hear the conductor downstairs greeting passengers as they paid their fares, and he imagined the girl taking a ticket and finding a seat on the lower deck. Should he move downstairs? He paused, struck with indecision. And then he felt a movement behind him and caught a glimpse of tweed to his right. Frank kept very still, his head facing the front window, but out of the corner of his eye, he saw the girl sit in the vacant seat across the aisle from him. She put her bag down by her feet, closed her eyes, and let out an audible sigh. The bus pulled away from the stop and set off up Clapham High Street. The girl didn't move from her position or open her eyes, so Frank was able to steal glances at her. He guessed that she was slightly younger than him, maybe 18 or 19, although she held herself with the confidence of someone twice her age. She was surprisingly tall, with a long, slender neck and a sharp, pointed chin. Her skin was so pale it looked like porcelain, and up close he could see that her hair was the colour of the orange marmalade his parents sold in their shop. As the bus approached Stockwell, she still hadn't moved, and Frank was beginning to wonder if she'd fallen asleep, when all of a sudden she opened her eyes and turned her head toward him. "Do you make a habit of staring at girls on the bus?" Frank was so taken aback that he felt himself blush. He stumbled, sounding like the schoolboy he suddenly felt like. "I'm sorry." She looked at him with her olive green eyes, and Frank saw a flicker of amusement dance across her face. Oh, God, she was laughing at him.
"It's rude, you know. Didn't your mother teach you any manners?"
"I'm sorry," Frank said again. His pulse was racing, and he reached into his pocket and pulled out his book, desperate to end this excruciating moment. He could feel her watching him, so he hurriedly turned to a random page and pretended to read.
"What's the book, then?" she asked.
It's On the Road by Jack..." He hesitated, unsure how to pronounce the surname.
"Kerouac." "Any good?"
At once, Frank had an urgent sense that how he answered this question was vital, that he had one chance to make up for the terrible first impression he'd made. But the problem was, he really didn't like the book. He'd been lent it by a friend who loved all things American and had ordered it all the way from New York. His friend had raved about the book's modern style and said something about beat poets, but Frank had been struggling with its chaotic and strange narrative and had barely got past the first 10 pages.
"Yes, it's great. It's from America. The author is part of the Beat Generation."
Frank hoped that sentence made him sound grown up and sophisticated, but he saw she still had that same faintly amused expression on her face.
"What happens in it?"
"Oh, well, he goes on a journey, on the road."
"Yes, I got that much from the title."
"Then what?"
"He meets some people and goes to parties and..."
Frank tried to remember what else he'd been told about the book,
But this girl was making his brain turn to jelly. She was watching him silently, with no intention of putting him out of his misery.
"To be honest, I've not got very far with it yet," he said, and heard a sigh of defeat in his own voice.
The girl didn't say anything, just reached into her bag, pulled out a large notebook and pencil, and began to scribble something down. Frank waited for her to speak again, but realized with a sinking sensation that she'd got bored of him, and their conversation was over. The bus trundled on, up South Lambeth Road, toward Vauxhall Junction. Frank desperately wanted to observe her some more, but whenever he glanced over, she seemed to sense it and look back at him, so he resigned himself to staring out the front window instead. He was painfully aware that she might get off at any moment, and as they approached each bus stop, he held his breath in case this was the one. But she didn't leave, and the only sound was the scratch of her pencil on the paper. Finally, when he could bear it no longer, Frank turned back to her.
"What are you writing?"
"What's that?" she said, not looking up from the page.
"I said, what are you writing?"
"I'm not."
"But you're
here." With a flourish, she ripped the page out of her notebook and thrust it toward him. Frank took the piece of paper and turned it over cautiously, unsure what he was about to see. It was a sketch of a young man, and with a jolt like an electric shock, Frank realized it was him. She'd caught his hair perfectly, the way he styled the front with wax so it stood up high, and there were his two big ears and the crooked nose he'd inherited from his mother. Yet somehow she'd taken all his odd features and still made him look, well, handsome.
"This is..."
His voice came out in a boyish squeak, and Frank winced.
"It's very rough," she said, pulling a pack of cigarettes from her bag and extracting one. "I can't believe you did it so quickly."
"I like to sketch on the bus." She struck a match and lit the cigarette, inhaling deeply. "There's always an interesting selection of life models, with the added frisson that you never know when they'll suddenly bugger off."
"It's wonderful."
"It's not one of my best," she said, dismissing the compliment with a wave of her cigarette. "Do you like art?" Again, this answer felt important, and Frank opened his mouth to bluff, then stopped himself.
"I don't really know much about it, I'm afraid. My family have never had much interest in art."
He waited for her to mock him, and was surprised to see her smile, warmly this time.
"My old man's the same. His idea of art is the cartoons in the Daily Mirror. He tried to stop me going to art school. It's not that I'm not interested, I just don't know where to start. It's all a bit intimidating."
"I know it can seem like that, but it's not really. Anyone can enjoy art. That's why it's so exciting."
Frank wasn't sure he agreed. His parents' attitude to art was the same as their attitude to the pictures or the theatre, that it was something frivolous that only those with too much time or money could enjoy.
"So how did you learn to draw if you don't go to art school?"
"Oh, I do go.
But I thought you said your father stopped you."
"He tried, but I left home and went anyway," the girl said. "I moved in with a friend in Clapham, and I have a part-time job in a clothes shop so I can pay the rent. That's where I'm headed now. My family have pretty much disowned me."
She dropped her cigarette on the floor and ground it out with her shoe. Frank watched her in awe. Even though he was 22, he could never imagine disobeying his parents like that. His father would kill him.
"You're much braver than me," he said.
But she shrugged.
"It's not really bravery. I didn't have a choice. Painting is all I've ever wanted to do."
"And what will you do when you finish your course?"
"I'll be an artist."
The way she said the word sent a thrill down Frank's spine. He'd never met an artist before, and it only made her seem more exotic and wonderful. The bus passed through Parliament Square, and Frank stared out the window at Westminster Abbey.
His parents had brought him here when he was 13 to join the cheering crowds at the Queen's coronation.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?